The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Thanks for being here. We watched this story unfold in real time Friday afternoon, a bombshell from the LA Times involving Southern Cal Athletic Director Mike Bone resigning after criticisms over management. The story was broken by Ryan Kartke in the Los Angeles Times, and Ryan joins us now. Ryan, first of all, thank you very much for making time, and I know your job is to be a reporter and not accept accolades, but you are receiving universal praise from a lot of your brethren, including right here. Thank you for being with us. Good afternoon.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Paul.
Well, it's always good to see, you know, real reporting in the intercollegiate athletics space, because there's too little of it. What can you tell us about how you became aware of this and the process that led to your story and ultimately to his resignation, which he tried to couch early on as amicable, but it doesn't seem like that's exactly what went down.
Yep, so I had been made aware in the couple of weeks before, you know, this past Friday's resignation. First, that there were complaints in the department just generally about unrest and Mike's management of that department. You know, allegations that he certainly didn't seem to have control of managing his group, you know, whether that meant leaving people confused after meetings, just generally not showing up for meetings that he was expected to be at, other things like not being at key events. Certainly, multiple people have told me of national championship victories, five of them in total that USC had missed, or that Bone had been absent from. And, you know, amid all of this, I started to hear even more concerning elements, you know, of inappropriate behavior and of, you know, people warning Mike of inappropriate comments that were made in the department. And, you know, at the same similar time, I'd also become aware that there had been a March meeting with senior staff members, according to multiple people in the meeting, who USC's general counsel had explained in this meeting that they were going to conduct a department-wide cultural assessment, generally ahead of their transition to the Big Ten. And, you know, there were some more details just given about how, you know, it was about having a compliant work environment and, you know, just generally was described as, you know, to get our ducks in a row before the Big Ten. Now, the lawyer that was hired to do that is, you know, a preeminent attorney with Cozen O'Connor in Philadelphia that focuses largely on institutional response to misconduct, largely at universities, at, you know, corporations, at hospitals. And obviously her work also includes, you know, general cultural assessments too, but, you know, she had worked on the case at Baylor, at Virginia, at Colorado, high profile misconduct cases in college athletics. So, you know, obviously, you know, using that information sort of continued to move forward and asking questions, and had heard even previously that there had been some questions at Cincinnati. So I, you know, started reaching out to people who had worked alongside Mike, you know, had been just in Mike's general tertiary, you know, space while he was the athletic director at Cincinnati, and, you know, began to hear a lot of the same concerns that had been raised at USC. I know five female members of the department there told me that, you know, he basically left a very toxic and hostile workplace for women, especially. Two people at Cincinnati told me on the record, a former athletic trainer and also another, administrator, her name's Kim McGraw, of times when they witnessed Mike make inappropriate, unwanted physical contact with women, female employees and colleagues in the department, touching their shoulders and touching their back in a way that made them visibly uncomfortable. A lot of similar comments were sort of levied, and I've been hearing about it at USC. And so that sort of brings us to last week. Thursday, I had sent an email, listing several questions for both Mike and USC. They were sent out within minutes of each other. And both were given just generally a 24-hour period to respond to those questions. And shortly after that 24-hour period on Friday, I was alerted that Mike was tendering his resignation, and he had sent me along the statement that he made. And shortly after that, Carol Holt, the university president, had sent a letter to the USC community, adding a little bit more context to that and confirming our reporting on the departmental review and the fact that they had brought out an outside law firm. So from there, there's certainly a lot of reporting to be done. I have to cue pretty closely to where we're at in that regard, but I can certainly say that this is not the end of us reporting this story.
Ryan, I know it's come out that Turnkey did the executive search due diligence on him, and I realize it's not the easiest thing in the world to do before the fact to get people to say things, but I'm sure a lot of people are curious how they missed this so badly. Do you have any insight into that?
It's tough for me to say much on that front, but I will say I think that's a fair question, and those questions will definitely be levied to Turnkey. When Mike was hired, Turnkey did a blog post at some point sort of hailing the fact that Mike's integrity was the main reason why he became USC's athletic director. So I think, certainly they were confident in that claim. But I cannot say specifically, what their vetting process was. And, they'll certainly be given a chance to explain that further.
Yeah, and Ryan, for the audience that doesn't understand, and I think it's pretty easy to understand, you're in the middle of a story. This is not the end, as you alluded. A lot of these will there's no question, I don't think any of us could come up with it that hasn't already been addressed by you and your bosses at the LA Times. I marveled at the process, though, and I bring that up because I think too often, and I saw a report the other day, the second his announcement was made, some media member said they had spoken with him and confirmed that he left amicably, and I think too often we just let those type of statements go by, which brings me to the question about if you could allude to it or address it, just the dogged reporting that goes into something like this. I mean, we know who you've talked to. We don't know the people you've tried to talk to. Can you give us some insight into what this process is like?
Certainly. I don't know that there's a special sauce to any of that. But I think ultimately the critical element of this is that there was a faction of people from Cincinnati that had been kind of waiting to hear from someone. People who had, sort of questioned how he'd ended up at USC and sort of in a lot of cases had put out of their mind about everything that happened with him there. But I know, certain elements of the last year, especially, generally the credit that was being given to Mike, whether it be by his peers being named Athletic Director of the Year by NACTA, which is made up of athletic directors across the country, certainly being credited with hiring Lincoln Riley and moving to the Big Ten, both things that certainly happened under his watch while he was athletic director. I think there was already some, feeling that they can't believe this has continued, and that no one has really started asking these questions. So, you know, as much as I can say is really just that when I started reaching out to these people, it was, I could sense that people had been waiting to kind of talk about this. And, you know, certainly I think about how it could have been me asking the questions earlier than I did. But, you know, I think, you know, very clearly became, you know, something that people were willing to talk about. And certainly those who went on the record, that's not an easy thing to do when you're, you know, certainly speaking about someone who has a very high-powered job, and you're stepping into a lot of high-powered situations in that regard. So I will, you know, always have the utmost respect for them.
Ryan, many thanks for sharing your insight and your reporting. It is a remarkable story, especially to hear you describe a part of it. And we don't know everything yet, but we know a lot more than we did a week ago. Thank you very much. You be well.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Paul.
Wow, what an incredible saga. Ryan Kerdge from the LA Times on just the news that we know about, but the process, and how rare reporters look into the process anymore. They just take whatever they're told and say, that's good. Next, we will be right back after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We're back here Monday afternoon. Augie is up next.
Paul.
Hello.
Paul, did you say last week we were 100 days away from college football?
I read that somewhere, yes.
Can you believe it? It seems like just yesterday we were watching, we were sleeping through Georgia trouncing TCU. But since we are starting to make up topics to talk about in the dog days of college football radio show talk, if the SEC were to expand and you could only pick two teams, what would the logical two teams be?
Well, I think you have to be realistic. You just can't go grab anybody. You have to look at someone who would be willing to make the move. So
no, if you could pick whoever you wanted, who would those be? And let's face it, we're talking about poaching the ACC. Because in my book, the ACC is the weakest link to fall that we could potentially expand into. Do you agree?
Yes, I do agree.
So who would you grab? Would you grab Florida State and Clemson, Miami and Clemson? Of course, Clemson would be one of the picks by default, correct?
Now I need to ask you this. You said anyone? I could have
anyone. Anyone from a troubled league. Of course,
well,
you can't
I would go for the most logical choice for everyone, and that would be Notre Dame first.
Okay.
And then it's a tough call because, to me, in the ACC, I don't think Clemson is as attractive as some people think they are. I know it's a good fit, but what does Clemson really bring to the table? Same thing really about Florida State. I frankly think North Carolina is more attractive than those two.
I would think Miami,
Miami's
North Carolina.
Miami's a possibility.
Virginia Tech.
I think Virginia Tech brings nothing.
You don't think so?
You tell me. What do they bring?
Well, I mean, it gets you into that D.C. East
Are you
Coast.
Kidding? Augie, seriously. You think people in Georgetown and in Rockville and in Arlington, Virginia, give two rips about Virginia Tech?
An inappropriate word. But you know, Paul, did you get a call from Disney about what was that guy from New Orleans on the oil rig? He made a little comment that he could get
Dwayne,
by the sensors.
Long Money, yeah. Jane, Dwayne?
Yeah, did you guys get a call about that one?
I'm sure someone did. I didn't get it.
But
Randy, did you get a call on that one?
Sure did.
Uh-oh.
I mean, is there something about what Dwayne said that you find fault with?
No.
I mean, the guy's been on an oil rig for 3 months. I asked him point blank, after you cash the check, and I'm assuming he's got direct deposit, what's the first thing you're going to do when you get off the boat? And he answered it very honestly.
I was going to say, do you believe that was an honest answer? I say 100% it was.
Yes, I believe it was the most honest answer we've ever had on this show.
So Paul, here's another question. How long do you give the ACC in its current state?
I think at some point they've got to blow it up. It's not sustainable because the bickering's never going away, and their model to give the teams that make the playoffs a little more money is not, that's not what we're taught. We're not looking for a Christmas bonus here. What they're looking for is to be on the same level as the SEC, and they're not going to be. And they're not going to be close.
I mean, do you give them years or a couple of years?
I think it's a couple of years. Everything about the ACC, I say this because I'm inside the Beltway, so to speak, but they wanted this a couple of years ago. Why did they sign this deal? Augie, I asked that question. They signed it because they wanted to be like the SEC. What did the SEC have 5 or 6 years ago that the ACC didn't have? Does anyone know the answer to that? They had a network.
National championships.
They had
a
network. That's the money. They had champions. They were doing okay, but they didn't have a conference television network. So they got it. And who did they get it from? They got it from ESPN. That's also the group that they signed the deal with.
So the headline is Paul Feinbaum gives ACC 2 years.
I didn't fall for that leading question by some shyster New Orleans attorney.
There you go. Hey, thanks, Paul.
Okay. I saw that one coming. I mean, he asked me all of the it was all about one question. It wasn't about anything else. What's the cliche?
Angel first.
I didn't just get off a turnip truck. Right. Why do they always insult turnip? Have you ever seen a turnip truck?
And what's wrong with a turnip truck?
Steve-O is up next.
Hey, Feinbaum, what's going on?
Hello.
Hey, a couple questions for you. First of all, getting back to Kevo's call a long time ago, you mentioned video calls. Remember that dude, I think in 15 or 16, he called himself Stingray. He would make the videos. Remember that dude?
Yeah, Stingray was a Mississippi State fan.
Yes, but he went to school at Alabama or Auburn or something.
Well, I think he lived in Tuscaloosa.
Yes, that's right. Anyway, I remember his calls every Thursday or Friday. He would send you the video of his rant about how Mississippi State was going to win.
Yeah, I wish we would do that again. I have no earthly idea why we don't do it anymore. I'm just the Oregon grinder here. But I think it was a – I mean, we had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, that was a good time. Hey, let me jump to the SEC baseball tournament just for a second. It starts tomorrow. Hey, can you explain something to me, Feinbaum? Why is it that not all the teams are invited to the tournament? I mean, it just doesn't make sense. It's an SEC baseball tournament. You would think that they would find a way to work all the teams in, some kind of play-in game.
Yeah,
or
I'm
something.
Sure it has something to do with that. Now, remember, they finally this move came a couple of years ago or recently when they made the first day or two single elimination. I think it used to be everything was double elimination, but I don't know why you couldn't figure out a way to do that. You could just start it today and have a play-in game.
Exactly. The basketball tournament.
Yeah.
Figured it out because, you know, if a team gets hot, even if they aren't very good,
well,
a team can get hot.
Steve, I mean, the greatest example is Ole Miss last year. Everyone knows
exactly.
That story. There's a documentary on in 2 hours. I do think that it also – but it does make the end of the season a little bit more exciting. I mean, there was a race over the weekend. Mississippi State, I think it was Missouri and Georgia were all fighting for that last berth because Ole Miss had – was out of it after last weekend. He was asking about Dwayne. Long money Dwayne is back.
Why he asked about me?
Well,
why that clown asked about me? What are you worried about me?
Now, Dwayne, you're talking about a fellow New Orleans LSU
fan. I know that. But hey, check this out. I ain't talking about that no more. Why I want to tell you why. Your channel, SEC channel, don't have LSU spring game. They ain't played LSU spring game one time since March. They played Vanderbilt garbage can. They played Florida garbage butt. They played Alabama garbage butt. They played Florida garbage butt. They played Georgia garbage butt.
Now, Dwayne, you'll have to answer me this question. Did LSU have a legitimate spring game?
That ain't a legitimate spring game.
Okay.
I'm willing to guarantee you that legitimate spring game has aired on this network. We need to boycott while you ain't playing, why we don't have no spring game on the SEC network. Huh?
Dwayne, you and I both know it has aired.
What?
I mean, remember, what have you been doing the last couple of weeks?
Don't worry about that. I can watch. I've been seeing Georgia spring game come up. I've been seeing Alabama spring game come up. I've seen Vanderbilt game come up. Tennessee game come up. South Carolina game come up. Kentucky game come up. I ain't seen no LSU yet. LSU played since March. LSU played their spring game in March. They ain't played yet.
Well, Dwayne, I am going to stake my reputation on it, whatever's left after this call. That
what?
Okay, it last played on the SEC network on April 25th.
April 25th. With LSU?
We are researching it right now. What's that again, Jamal?
That must have been at 2 o'clock
it
in the
aired
morning.
On the 25th and 26th of April.
As 2 o'clock in the morning. That was 2-3 o'clock in the morning.
One was at 9 o'clock at night. If you would like, we can just go ahead and air it, starting in 2 minutes, and we'll get out of here. If that's okay with you.
Yeah, that's okay with me. Yeah, that's okay. You do it when you leave the show at 6 o'clock. You leave the show. You go straight to a softball game.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Go straight to LSU spring game. That's
we will go ahead, Dwayne, and put it on right now. And all the people that don't want to see it can blame you.
Yeah, that'll blame me then. They're going to meet me. Hey, I might be at your studio next week knocking at your door.
I am going to talk to whatever suit is in charge, and we are going to make sure that when are you off the rig?
Don't worry about it. I'm coming in. I'll let you know when I'm coming in. That's a good thing about it. You don't know when I'm coming in.
Okay, well, I will guarantee you, it won't happen this week because there's a lot going on this week, but it will happen. We will air it all day long. We'll have an LSU spring game marathon, and Dwayne can sit right here and narrate that. We'll take a short break. We have 90 minutes remaining. See you in a second. We are back. Shane is up next. Shane calling from Kentucky. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Hi there.
Hey, I just got a message for AC. I tried to get through yesterday. I'm sick of that dude, man. We are proud Americans in this country, but not only that, in our area, we are proud Southern Americans, and that's a level of patriotism that you will never understand unless you go to one of these campuses here in the SEC and start running your mouth about fat Americans. The only thing that'll be fat is your lip. And I mean, dude, you're from Canada. The best things that came from Canada are Crown Royal and Trailer Park Boys. I mean, I promise you, we like to argue and bicker about our teams, but when it comes down to it, we are proud Southern Americans, and I promise you, you'll have Big Blue Nation, Woo Pig. We will happily volunteer to gator chomp your ass. And when we pull the dogs and the tigers off of you and we get through gigging you, we'll drink a hot toddy and raise our glass and say, Roll Tide. AC, bless your heart.
Well said. Well done. Jake is up next in Texas. So, hey, Jake.
How's it going, Paul? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I've had two quick questions for you. Do you think A&M's offense is going to improve under Bobby Petrino? And who do you think will win the first SEC matchup between Texas A&M and Texas?
Jake, I do think it will improve dramatically. And I don't know where that game will be, but I'm leaning toward the Aggies. I think there's a lot of pent-up frustration that will come out that day.
All right. Well, that's all I had for you, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
Yeah. Everybody talks about the various games next year that we will see, but you talk about the emotions of that game, and especially on the A&M side. I mean, Longhorns try to act like they don't care, but they should. And I think anyone that thinks that A&M going to the SEC wasn't really the linchpin to get the Longhorns to shift their approach is fooling themselves. We'll continue with more phone calls. William in Lake Charles, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hi, Paul. How you doing?
We are doing great. Thank you.
That's good. I actually have a few questions. My first question being, what do you think how LSU would do? LSU and Alabama, actually. Alabama's going to be playing Texas again, I see, on their schedule, and LSU will be playing Florida State again. I guess my first question would be for LSU. How do you think they will be doing for that game, for how their offseason is going currently?
Yeah, today, which 3 months and a week out on that game, I would pick LSU to win. I feel the same way about Alabama. I don't really think last year has anything to do with this year. That was a combustive atmosphere that Alabama clearly was not ready for.
Right.
And I understand what Alabama did to win that game. And I also am acutely aware who's not going to be there that won the game for Alabama. But I think that was a combination of a lot of things, mainly mistakes by Alabama that created 15 penalties. It didn't go. It didn't. It wasn't really solved. That issue wasn't solved until late in the year. But I don't think that will happen again. Thank you for the call. We much appreciate it. Nick is in Pensacola. Nick, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Yeah, I wanted to get your thoughts, and I'm sure you've been asked this multiple times, but it's the off season, so you've got to find something to talk about.
Sure.
Where do you think? Where would you expect Carson Beck coming in, assuming that he's going to start, and it looks like he's going to, for the Dawgs? How do you think being in the system for that long and having, you know, a decent amount of continuity in the offense, he'll acclimate to actually starting a college football game?
I think it's tremendous advantage to having been there. I would be very nervous for him if this was, what, 3 years ago or 4 years ago, whatever it was, and or 2 years ago, I should say, and the first game of the year was against Clemson. But I think the schedule is perfect for somebody who needs experience as the starter. So, therefore, I don't think it will be a big deal. By the time that Georgia is finally tested, he will be a seasoned starting quarterback.
Yeah, that's my thoughts too. I'm feeling pretty good about it. I think we ought to be in great shape to play for another SEC title and another playoff.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're foolish if you don't think Georgia will get to Atlanta and the playoffs. You're gambling if you think Georgia will win again, and I know they're the heavy favorite, but there is something called bad luck that always seems to befell a team trying to do what Georgia is doing. But Georgia will be in Atlanta. I mean, I'm not being dismissive of anyone, but I just think the schedule sets up too perfectly. They have one real challenge at the end of the year. The only way they might lose out is if Tennessee has a perfect season. Are they capable of it? Yeah, they're capable of it. They'd have to beat Alabama, and they could lose to Alabama and beat Georgia and still get to Atlanta. That's the only way I see Georgia being denied. Thanks for the call. We head to the break. Your phone calls are around the corner. We will get to them. One more guest a little bit later on. It's been a busy afternoon.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we're back, and Colton is up next in Charlotte. Hello, Colton.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
We are doing great.
Great. I wanted to ask, I'm a Florida Gator here in Charlotte, North Carolina. I just wanted to get your ideas on the Florida quarterback situation this year now that Anthony Richardson's out the window, Billy Napier hasn't really brought any great guys in, and what their season outlook looks like.
Yeah, Colton, I think it's Graham Mertz. We are planning on talking to Napier next week when we're at the beach, interested in hearing from him if they're, you know, where he feels that situation is. But right now, I think Mertz will be the Thursday night Utah starter. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Glenn is up next, also in Charlotte. We're knocking the Queen City dead tonight.
Hello, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, I called 2 years ago after USC's second game against Stanford, and I said that USC would recoup itself with the hiring of one good coach, and it seems like Lincoln Riley has done his job. Now, today and Friday, getting all that information about USC, I'm sure it's going to set them back a little bit. I wanted to know what you
Glenn,
think about.
I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. And I know it sounds like a big scandal and you know, workplace misbehavior is a serious issue, but the big decisions have been made. Lincoln Riley being part of the key to bringing SC back, and the other decision going into the Big Ten. Mike Bone does not affect either one of those. Yeah, you lose a little bit of continuity when your athletic director gets bounced out on a Friday afternoon in May. But that's a prime job. They'll have somebody in there pretty quickly. And there's still plenty of time. A lot of things are happening right now, but very little is happening right now in relation to the Big Ten that an interim athletic director cannot handle.
Oh, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. I also like to say that, you know, I think that USC is uniquely qualified to do one thing, and that's come back off the losing those 30 scholarships that they lost when they were put on probation. And they're probably one of maybe five or six schools that could come back within, you know, 5 to 10 years of losing all those scholarships. And there's not a lot of them, a lot of schools that could do it. It'd probably be Texas, probably be maybe Ohio State, you know, schools that have, you know, like the Florida schools. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think SC is one of those top five programs that always can come back. It just takes the right coach. SC, Alabama was in a very similar situation in 2007 when Saban was hired. Lincoln Riley is in that league of coaches that can make and has already changed the dynamics of the program. Thank you for the call. John is in Louisville. Hey, John.
I'm still in L.A. I should apply for that job at USC, though. What do you think?
Drop off a resume.
No chair. I know. I'm going out to Santa Monica Pier today. Hey, Paul, I want to give a thumbs down to Kevin Warren. I did read the Pete Thamel item, but he totally screwed things up. I mean, let's face it, USC and UCLA joined the league while he was watching Wimbledon.
Well,
he screwed COVID up.
I mean, if you only, how many opportunities do you have to take your wife to Wimbledon while your league is getting the biggest change, the biggest addition in a generation?
Right, and then he leaves open items such as the NBC portion of the contract and. I mean, who does a better job than having all the coaches and ADs hate you? And then apparently he's supposed to get a big bonus. You know, Jim Delaney, who really set the table for the Big Ten, he walked out with $20 million. But they've hired Corn Ferry to find ways not to pay him his bonus. I just think he did a terrible job over there.
When it's well known that the job that Kevin Warren wants is Roger Goodell's. Now, who wouldn't want that job? $50 million a year and you get to sit in the owner's box every Sunday. I mean, I don't blame him for wanting that job, but he's serious about it, and I don't think the NFL will be. You don't go from the Big Ten commissionership to a job like CEO of the Chicago Bears. I mean, that's a functional job. That means you go to the Chicago City Council and you try to get funding for a new stadium, that you show up at owners' meetings and make sure that the owner has the suite. That's not an important job. You know that.
Yeah, it was a stepping stone. I think you nailed it with that comment, Paul.
I tried to like Kevin Warren while everyone sniped at him behind the scenes. And I think that's still going on. I with all due respect to Thamel, I don't think that article today really matters a whole lot. I think that was just a lot of that was some bloodletting, some, you know, get back at Kevin Warren. I mean, I can't tell you how many important executives in college athletics have been aiming at Kevin Warren now for about 3 years.
Yeah, that's true. But usually they give him a honeymoon. He didn't really enjoy a honeymoon.
He made a lot of mistakes early on. And by the way, I don't even blame COVID on him. I blame it on some of the presidents in the Big Ten.
Oh, the chancellors and presidents.
Yeah. But He never read the room correctly. He should have finished the job. That's my only complaint. He had 3 months to tie up a couple of loose ends, which means, I mean, he's a lawyer. I mean, it's not like this is a neophyte that walked in there and didn't understand contracts. I'm pretty sure he took contract law. We will be back. Another hour to go. We hope you'll stick around. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.